Welcome to part 11 of Building a Dynamic Web Community Using PHP, MySQL, and Flash, brought to you by developphp.com. And before we get back into the edit profile page and parsing these little forms here for them to for the members to change their profile data, I'm going to create a new page. Well, in the register page, I remove the phone number field, because I don't want to gather the users, the members' phone numbers. Somebody asked me at YouTube, you know, why was I gathering phone numbers, and it occurred to me, I have no idea. There was no rhyme or reason for that. I was just throwing random things in here. There's no set purpose. This is just like a demo site. But it's going to have pretty good search engine indexing and all those good things, like any other website where you can join as a member to help spider and promote your web entity. So I moved the phone number field, and I went into the code of the register form and the register script, and I removed all the things that dealt with the phone number field and adding it to the database and filtering it and all that stuff. It's all gone. So now what I want to do is go into the database and change the phone field, because when we created our site, let's see, open, let's go to scripts. When we created our table, remember we placed a phone field. So now there's a phone field sitting in the database with it's not going to be used. So what I want to do is change the name of that field in the database to style sheet. That way I'm going to show you guys how to let your members just pick a style, a whole ready-made profile pimped out thing. They can stick with the default, or you can give them these cool styles to pick from, and that's what I'm going to show you. So we're going to change this to style. So to do that, we're going to make a new script. So let's just close that script and say file, new, PHP script, remove all that. Actually, let's replace it with our little script, and then I'll explain the little script. So I'll automatically pop it in, and here it is. And let's file, save this as in the scripts folder, alter table, alter underscore table dot php. Actually, it'll give us the extension automatically. So just press alter table and press save. So now we have our alter table dot php script in our scripts folder, and we're going to send it up to FTP. And what we're going to do is change, actually I have to swap these two. Well, let me show you inside of PHP MyAdmin. You can also change it right from here in PHP MyAdmin, and you can log into PHP MyAdmin from your host server, cPanel, or whatever kind of admin panel they use at your main host server's login. When you log in at your host server, there's an interface called PHP MyAdmin where you can manipulate your database directly through a nice easy to use interface. You can just change phone right here, press edit, and change the word phone to style sheet, and it would be that easy. And so what I'm going to do is show you how to do it through a little script if you didn't have the ability to go into PHP MyAdmin, and we'll be able to see if this changes from phone to style sheet. So let's say, let's put phone in the front here. Let's see. Change. Yeah, let's just put style sheet here, change this to phone. So it's going to change phone to style sheet and give it all these attributes. And so, and then it's going to run the query, and if the query runs successfully and there's no hangups, then we get print success and table field manipulation. Else, it'll say script failure. So let's go ahead and put this bad boy up via FTP, alter table. And I already tried a little experiment just to make sure it would work, and sure it does. So now our script is in there, so we can go to it's up on the web now. Like, we can navigate straight to it just by going to our website, wherever your website is, then you go to your scripts folder, scripts, navigate to alter table. And it says success in table field manipulation. So that means good things. So now let's refresh our database and look at it and make sure it really did that. So let's just my members. See? After zip, it said phone. Now it says style sheet. That's what we wanted. Now I'm going to let the members pick their style sheet. And so that was that. We can close that out. Everything is good. Now, at the edit profile page, which is the point where we are at in our tutorial series, we're going to now show you the parsing mechanisms for all of these little things, and I'll explain them. All these little tables that you see here, they each have a form inside of them for all the things you want let the user manipulate. And you'll see this source file when you download the, if you want to download the source file package, and you'll see that each one is nested inside of a table, each form is nested inside of a table, and it has its own submit button. So when they, the reason why I did that, it's for efficiency, I believe. I think if you have one submit button down on the bottom to refresh everything, you're going to be running a larger SQL query on your database to update things than would be needed. All you have to do is run what they want to change. No reason to change all of this nonsense unless they actually put a change into one of these fields and press submit on that section. So it will just run a little leaner to do it that way. And this account settings link is not even active yet. I just put a pound sign in there to make it blue with an underline and like an active link. So now I'm going to show you how I'm going to put in the code to parse all of those little forms when they press submit. And here's our default code that adds all of that data to those fields in the forms there. And this one's going to stay in. I'm just going to add a little space here. And here's where I'm going to code all these queries in. And I'll show you and explain. And then you download the source files and look further. Or maybe look while I explain it. Whatever you want to do. Okay. Okay, so I've created the mechanism, the parse mechanism for the member picture when they attempt to upload or replace their profile picture. And it looks like it's line 23 to 51. So I'll explain those lines in just a moment. First, I want to show you what it does. Let's see, let's edit profile. Okay, so right now I have you see my default member picture because I don't have a picture yet. So I uploaded the new edit profile page with the new parsing mechanism, and I'll show you on the that the parsing mechanisms for the name, location, website. This should say YouTube. Are not even coded yet. I just kind of put the little condition nest there, or the function nest for the that if statement, and what happens inside of that when they parse is going to be database updates. But when they upload their picture, there's no database updates needed for our simple system here. So I'm going to show you how this works now, and then I'll explain the code for that image upload script or parsing mechanism. So we go to browse as a logged in user, and we go to thumbnails, and we find a picture that's less than 50 kilobytes, because we have a 50 kilobyte max set, and we're not doing any image resizing in this application. Later on down the road in some separate tutorial, I can show you guys how to do image resizing. It's really easy, and you can also rename them and reconfigure the file to be a .jpeg if they happen to upload a .gif or .png, but your, say your flash gallery would only allow the JPEGs to run in, you know, so you might want to convert them. I can show you how to do all that in later tutorials, but for this system we gotta get going along here, so I'm just gonna show you how to get it uploaded. So I press submit and you see how it shows this green text here? Your image has been updated. It may take a few minutes for the changes to show. Please be patient. Please be patient. No need, because the image already shows the change. And if I go to view my profile, booyaka. So that's how that works, and we're just setting the profile image dimensions in the page Oops, in the page that shows the profile data, and this one is set to 100, and it shows on the profile as 250. So if you were to happen to not browse for an image and press submit like I just did, you see red text here, error text. It says please browse for an image before you press submit. Or if they try to load one that's way too large, well, I don't know if I have a really large one. No. Let's see. Images. Here we go. I don't have any large images. Yeah, that one's huge. What's it? 81 kilobytes. There we go. Now I'll press submit. It's going to tell me your image was too large. Please try again. All right, so let's talk about this. So what renders out all of these errors and success messages and actually uploads the picture to my spot in my folder where it belongs and then renders it on page is right here, lines 23 to 51. And on line 23, we check to see if the post var equals pic. And what I did to make coding easier for us is I added an input to the form, the PIC1 form, a hidden type input, and the value is PIC. So on each one of these little forms down through your page, you just put a. I'll show you. For the next one, I haven't even put that in yet, so I'm going to load it here. And it's going to right before the submit button, and this one is going to be name. So the parse variable is name. The hidden parse variable is name. In this form, the hidden parse variable is pic. You see what that does? So that way in your form, you can just process that piece of data and not the whole page or whatever, you know what I mean? So when they if so we say if the parse var equals pic, then we run another conditional. These are error conditionals here. To say this one says if the file, the field is basically if the image is not there when they press submit, then we say please browse for an image before you press submit, and we lay out this error message. And this is very important. Right here we claim, I even wrote you guys some nice comments out through here. It says now let's create some default vars so our script does not return errors when we try to print them to page. They cannot be missing. So error message is right here. It's claimed as with a value of nothing. Success is claimed here with a value of nothing. So at least we claimed our variables, because on the page, on the HTML section, if you go to design, you'll see that we are printing right there success message and error message. So if you go to the page, you press edit profile, there's no error message and no success message there, because there's no need to show it. It's only in that conditional if they try to upload a picture. That's how that works. So if they try to upload a picture, they're definitely going to get an error message or a success message. Either one is definitely coming their way, and that's when we print it out to page. So if the page is set to always by default print that error message and success message, if those variables weren't set up here by default, the script could return errors to the browser, and you don't want that. So that's why I set those. Okay, so inside of the mechanism to change the picture, first the error message we print out is please browse for an image before you press submit if they happen to not browse and then press submit. Then if that condition doesn't meet and everything's cool there, then we claim the max file size to be 51,200 bytes, and that's equal to 50 kilobytes. So you can set your size, your max file size, for any size you want to allow them to be the max file size. And then you check to see if the file size meets the criteria. So if the actual picture being uploaded happens to be larger than the max file size, we give them this error. Your image was too large, please try again. And you can see my font tags right there where I make it red. And then if it's success here, success message, I make it green. Okay, so the next error would be to check the preg match. So if the preg match does not meet for .gif, .jpeg, .png for this file trying to be uploaded here, then we give them this error message: your image was not one of the accepted formats. Please try again. Unlink the picture like we did up here. Unlink just removes it from the temporary upload bin, or wherever the temporary storage is for uploading files. Then we just put out the that's the end of the error messages. So if all of these error messages or the error conditions do not get matched up, everything's cool. So we are going to now parse the picture or upload it and move it to the place in on the server where it belongs for this member in their folder. And we're going to rename it whatever they named it. Let's see. I wonder if they load a PNG. I'm not sure if this works, but we're going to test it out. If it doesn't, I'll fix it up. But I'm going to test to see if they upload a PNG or a .gif. If I can just transform the extension name to .jpeg, if that'll work. It might knock out the functionality of animated GIFs. That might be something that has to be fixed. But for now, we're going to roll with it. Let's see. So what we do is we claim the name for the new name of the pic, and we run the this place file variable, which at this point, right when the script hits this, it's going to run this function, move uploaded file, and here's our file name for the file that the user is uploading, and it's temp direct. And then we take the folder we have to access, the directory path, members folder, ID is going to be that member's ID. Each member has their own folder, and then we just sync in the new pic right there. And then success message. Yep, we print success message. So no error message would come to the user, only a success message, because these conditionals wouldn't be met. And pretty much that's it. Then we close this else right here, this last else. Then we close the else that checks if the file exists. That would be this guy right here. He gets closed right here. And then we close the main one up top. Actually, yeah, this one right here. And that's the whole shebang. So what I'm going to do is add the rest of these mechanisms, and the rest of these are going to be database. You can notice here we didn't do any database queries or updating, but here all the rest of these are going to be database oriented, and they're very simple, and you'll see it's just simple updates. And I'll explain those. Okay, I've got the rest of the parsing mechanisms scripted out, and it was pretty simple. And let's go to the web. Let's look at this thing. I already FTP'd the page up, and I'm on my edit profile page. And let's change North Carolina. I already tried it out, it works good. To, let's just say, New York. And then if I press submit, it says your location data has been updated, and we get a nice green text success message. Then we go to view profile, and voila, I am now from New York. Edit profile, let's make this, put it back to North Carolina because that's where I live. Submit. Location data updated, view profile. Okay, so we know everything's working right. Now let's go to edit profile again, and I'm just going to mention that I removed allowing people to change their name. If they don't put their correct name into the form where they register to the site and the register form, and these files will be updated in the zip package when I put it up later. Actually, before you can even view this video, the source package will have been updated, so you can go right to it and get it now. Okay, so I removed middle name, gathering middle name from the register form, because I realized I don't even want it. I don't know why I was gathering that. So it's not in use in the database anymore. And on the edit profile page, they cannot change their first and last name. If somebody gets married and they change their last name and they want to change it in our system, they can delete their account, because I'm going to show you guys how to allow people to delete their accounts and start over if they need to. But a lot of people wouldn't even ever need to change their name, especially men, and that's probably what's going to be mostly joining this site. It's going to be a big sausage fest here, because males are mostly developers and geeks and stuff like that. Okay, so most males won't need to change their name. I'm not even going to put it. And I removed it from all the parsing mechanisms. And let's talk about this location parsing mechanism now. And this is the mechanism that runs when they use this submit button in this form. It'll update all those four fields, and I show you how to do that here. So first thing we're going to do is check if it's the location parse var, and if that's good, then we run it. And we bring all the location variables, posted variables, into PHP locals, and then we run error handling for any missing data. We want to make sure, watch, if I take this state field and make it blank and I press submit, I get an error. It says error, red text, please do not make the field or fields blank in that section, so they know. And you put North Carolina back in for them. See there? Now if they press submit, all the four fields are there, and it says your location data, you know, that would be normal functionality. Okay, so that's why we check to see if any of the missing data or any of the data is missing, then we give them that error message right here. See it? Please do not make the fields blank in that section. That's very simple. Else, if all the data is there and everything's good, then we take the state, city, and zip, because those are the three fields where they can actually type something in and try and hack your database. So you go to replace. Well, first thing I do is I run a replace for any apostrophes. If they happen to put, you know, if they're from St. Croix, or I don't know, maybe some locations have an apostrophe in them, you want to preserve that. So we put in the hex value for that symbol and just make an apostrophe become the hex value, and it displays as an apostrophe on the page. And same for the little squiggly, the little mark above the squiggly key, the tilde key, and because that's used in database queries sometimes as well. So you remove those and you make them apostrophes. Then we run MySQL RealEscape String to clean and filter the data before we make any queries with it or update our database. And same for city and zip. We replace apostrophes, run the filter, place apostrophes, run the filter. Then everything can go into the database nice and safe. So we say this query is saying update my members, set country, set state, and set city with those values that the user has placed in. And the zip is here also. And you can just use a comma to separate all the values there. You can update as many of the fields for that member that you'd like in one query like this, where ID equals this user ID. That's what that's how that query works. So we say here, right after the query is processed in the script, if SQL update is all good, font color is green, your location data has been updated. Else, font color red, error message. That's very simple. Then we just close off our else conditions up top there, close it off here, and that's it for that. Now, get to this section. If they post the var of website, that means if they hit this submit button to change their website address, the URL, then we just bring the posted into local. We run the replace like we did in the register script, so we don't, if they happen to put the HTTP colon slash slash, then we remove it because we add it for them when we're going to render it on their profile, and we want to make sure that's not in there when they set it. So then we run the replace for any apostrophes that might be in it, which there should never be any apostrophes in a URL, but just in case somebody's doing something screwy, we're going to replace those with the hex digits, and run MySQL escape real escape string to filter. Then we run the update, which says MySQL query update my members table set website equals this new website value that the user's trying to update, and so we replace that value, or we replace that field and column with this value here, and then where ID equals this member's ID, and we run the same kind of if and else condition to give them the success or error message. It's very simple. And now the next, well, I guess I should mention that none of these will run, and I put in nice comments here that tells you that none of these are going to run unless they hit that particular submit button. I hope that makes sense to you, because it's very simple the way this all works. But this is probably one of the more complicated scripts that we're going to have in the whole system. And it's really not that complicated. You can get your head around it pretty easily if you dig in, especially if you have a little bit of knowledge on PHP already. So, or any kind of programming for that matter. So now for the next one, we say if the post var is YouTube, we run our regular things and replaces and filtering, then we do the MySQL update. It's going to update the My Member Set YouTube to the YouTube value that they enter, where ID equals this user's ID. And then we run the success or error message handling here. Next one is for the bio body, the about section. So if the post var equals bio body, we put it into local, then we put the post variable into a local variable here, and we do that so we can more easily, you know, you don't have to use this, you can just use this anywhere in the script below. Making local variables out of posted variables or things like that just helps you minimize your scripts when you're trying to access that variable and do conditions on it and things like that, or run functions on it. It just helps to have them in local variables, but it's the same value. That value is going to be placed into this variable. So then we run the replace, and for the apostrophe thing, filter it, and then here I run NL2BR and HTML special chars. I run two functions there that are native in PHP that you can research from php.net. I'm not going to explain all the things that these do, because it's already documented very nicely on the pages at php.net. All you have to do is sync this into the search field for the function list up top, and it'll show you everything you want to know. You don't have to ask me a darn thing. Okay, so SQL update my member set bio body with this new bio body, where, or the bio body value that the user is placing in, where ID equals ID, and then we run the success or error, and that is it. And here I like making nice visual separations in my code. You can see that here, each section where they're going to update has a nice bar here separating it, a nice three line bar. And then down here where we're finished doing the parsing, I put a little four section dash bar, and we talk about all the parsing has ended by this point in the script, so query the most current data for the member. This will show the refreshed data to the user so they do not see old data after making changes. It's really simple the way the script works, but it might seem really big and it might look complex the first few times you look at it, but don't let that get you down. This is so simple the way this thing works. it runs exactly the way we program it to. So then the final default query is here. We get all the information out of the database that's current, and we display it to the page. That's how it works. So we will, I guess this would be part 11. So in part 12, we're going to delve back into the profile display page, because right now it looks like crapola. So if we go to view profile, this is not the way I want this to look. So I'm going to do a little bit of tweakage, and then I'll talk to you about what we're doing there, and show you how to embed the YouTube channel, a couple other cool things. So yeah, we'll see you in part 12. I just wanted to mention to you guys, in this part of the series, I did a couple of changes to the CSS file, and I added one little thing. See how it says form fields here? It's a class definition for form fields. I just named it form fields. You can name it whatever you want, really. And I'm using a certain text color and a background color to make my forms look the way I want. See, when you go to the edit page, all the form fields are like a light blue, and the register page as well. And all I had to do to achieve that was set this in the CSS file, which is going to be in the new uploaded package, the updated package today. And if you go to the register form, you click on that, you can see it has a class down here set on it, a form field. It's very easy to do. If you go to the code, you see it right there, class form fields, and that's set in the CSS file, and that's why you see all my fields in blue. I just thought I'd mention that to you so you weren't confused about why you see blue fields in mine and not yours. You gotta get the new package. It's got the new updated CSS file. Okay, see you in part 12.